Hello, ladies and gents. Thank you so much for tuning in to my special live episode of the Freedom Report podcast, streaming on Twitch. This is a live show that you're watching right now. You're probably seeing me right now on thelibertarianrepublic.com. I'm your host, Cool Guy with Sunglasses, AP. And you know me as a former candidate for the United States Senate as a Republican here in Missouri. And you also know me running for President of the United States as a Libertarian. And thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us today. If you are in the chat, if you're watching us live, you can participate in this broadcast by typing down your little comments over there on the Twitch stream. And if you're listening to this upload of the podcast later, the topic today on this Tuesday, November the 27th, is going to be why libertarians can't win. And of course, there are a lot of reactions that are blowing up right now on the internet talking about this piece. I actually have gotten quite a few messages already from people. The last few days have been very controversial in AP land. But of course, as my agent, my booking manager said, Austin, at least they're talking about you. The future's so bright, you gotta wear shades. anyway, so where the topic today is why libertarians can't win. And the article in question is one that's posted to the front page of thelibertarianrepublic.com. So if you're watching me on Twitch, not on thelibertarianrepublic.com, or if you're listening to this later, then definitely check out that article. What's up, AP? Nice to see you, Mr. Tarnation. Do you have your jewel on me? Of course. Would I be a libertarian if I didn't vape? What I really should be doing is wearing a fedora right now. But no, it's do I? Yeah, it's not. No, this isn't too official. Just FYI for the commenters are saying, is this too official for you to jewel? No, I'm pretty sure that on Twitch it's perfectly legit. You can do that. You know who I am, says Tarnation. I don't know who you are, but maybe you'll tell me later. Good to see you, Leon the Gray. Welcome everybody who's filing in to the stream. Really appreciate you guys participating. So. I know a lot of people are going to have questions about this topic. I know it's a topic that's really causing some angst and butthurt. But you do have to understand this is coming from a labor of love, like a place of love. Sometimes tough love is necessary. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear it from me, my opinions, because I didn't win the presidency. Yes, I did not become the president at 35 years old. What a massive failure. And no, I did not win the U.S. Senate seat against Yale educated Mr. Federalist Society Josh Hawley. No, but... the experiences that I've had have given me, you know, the sort of view, like eagle eye view on some of the problems that we face, you know, as libertarians, because the question is, you know, am I a libertarian? The answer is absolutely yes. Like there's no incentive to be a libertarian. You have to understand. It's not like everybody wants to be a libertarian because we're so cool and everybody wants to hang out with us. It's actually quite the opposite. And the reason why we have that problem is what I diagnosed in this piece today. For the top five reasons why libertarians can never win an election. So I'm going to go through this article with you guys and let you digest it as I discuss it. And big props to Squiggly Line Guy who got a byline on this piece because he helped put it together. And yeah, it's got my point of view, but big props to Squiggly Line Guy who's been blowing it up. I mean, he's been driving insane amounts of traffic to the Libertarian Republic the last few days. He hit a triple play. So say thank you to your favorite neighborhood Squiggly Line Guy. And let's get into it. Five reasons why libertarians will never win an election. And according to a 2017 Gallup poll, 60% of Americans believe America is in need of a third party to challenge Republicans and Democrats. This isn't new. According to the poll data, these results have been unchanged since about 2013. Now, since 2003, this poll has fluctuated from 40% and higher, right? So if you're not reading the article, you can follow along with me right now. I'll drop this in the Twitch stream for you guys. What's up, John Burke? Nice to see you, brother. Hey, Josh Colbert. Welcome to all of our friends in the chat. So the question is, with what you can conclude from that, guys, is if America wants a third party this bad, why is the Libertarian Party struggling? And the first one is something that's absolutely out of the Libertarian Party's control. It's not their fault. It's just districting. So Republicans, Democrats are always accusing each other of gerrymandering, right? But... you know, they're accusing it of doing it to each other, but the Libertarian Party gets screwed on this every single time. You know, if you think about this, you know, you can't win in a statewide election that's determined by the popular vote, such as a U.S. Senate or a gubernatorial race, right? So, and the Libertarian Party has not been popular on those big races. And I love Larry Sharpe. Again, this is coming from a place of love. This is not even Larry Sharpe's fault. But he ran in New York. He ran a very well-structured campaign. He fundraised well, and he had a really good positive message. And I think he ran a great campaign. I supported him all the way. But he fell, listen to this, he fell behind the Green Party candidate. Scoggs from South Carolina, good to see you, brother. Welcome to the stream. But Sharp lost, and he was polling better than the Green Party candidate. So that was just another thing, was that, like, you can't kind of put too much hope or faith or trust or love into the polls, because it's not necessarily going to be what the, you know, what's going to determine the outcome. So let's move on to the next part of this, some of this stuff. Now, like, we're moving on to things that we can have a lot to do with. What's up, Utah Jazz? Good afternoon to you. Just doing a quick little stream today on Twitch. Hope you guys are enjoying. Reading the article, 5 Reasons Libertarians Will Never Win. Okay, so listen to this. This is one of the big important pieces, the parts of this piece that really I think we need to kind of contend with. The Libertarian Party won't fit into 2020. Now, listen to this. 2016, you know, obviously you guys know I ran then, but and everybody was paying attention. We got tons of coverage. We had televised debates. We had a televised convention. We had more mainstream coverage of the presidential candidate of Gary Johnson than ever before. But here's the thing. 2020 is not a repeat. Every time, every 4 years it goes by, things, the national mood changes, right? It's not a redo. So there's not going to be a never Trump movement because we already have President Trump, okay? And the Democrats, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to run a candidate further to the left, so they're going to try and fight populism with populism. Now, what that means is that we're in 2020, we're going to have a extraordinarily binary election. This is exactly what's going to happen because of the state of polarization in this country. Americans are either going to be fighting to keep Trump or they're going to try to fire him. And nobody's going to be shopping for a third choice because of the perception of what's at stake. The only major issue, in my opinion, that libertarians are going to be able to distinguish themselves from Trump on is on immigration, right? So where the vast majority of Americans ultimately disagree with libertarians on their border views. So Hillary Clinton, listen to this, guys. Hillary Clinton voiced this concern that mass migration into Europe is problematic, and then John Kerry echoed the same sentiments. Now, Democrats who are upset with what they're saying, they're going to go to the left. They're going to go further left into the Democratic Party field to find their candidate, okay? And there's going to be a lot of them to choose from. Beto O'Rourke, what have you, and they're going to run to the left of Hillary Clinton and John Kerry or whoever is, like, you know, running at the time, right? There's going to be plenty of Democrats. Now, if you thought the 2016 field was crowded by Republicans, just you wait until 2020 with the Democrats and what they do. So here's another problem that we are struggling with as libertarians. It's one that is probably going to be something we may not be able over to overcome. It's a lack of empathy and how a lack of empathy translates into poor marketing. Right? I like to sometimes say, and I didn't mention this in the piece, but libertarians have too many engineers and not enough salesmen. We have, and our engineers hate our salesmen. And that's like any normal company or institution. You'll have your sales staff. There'll be all the, like, you know, sweet talking, you know, kind of smarmy, smug, you know, confident, outgoing, extrovert type. Sound familiar? Ding. I need like a little ding effect on my teeth. Sound familiar? And that's how the engineers kind of look at the sales team, right? And then the sales team looks at the engineers as a bunch of nerds, a bunch of dorks, people who can't get along, not the kind of guy you want to bring to your kegger rager on the weekend, not the kind of guy you're going to invite over to a barbecue who's going to harangue you with, you know, calling you a statist or what have you. But, you know, so we thrive on theory, okay? But we struggle with practicality. We often miss the forest for the trees. You know, when you feel like you've won a random internet skirmish after calling your foe a status bootlicking sheeple, you've actually helped lose the war. So in order to change somebody's views, you have to understand their views, even acknowledge their views. But we operate on this kind of Vegas or bust mentality. It's like an all or nothing approach. Now, I've seen more people incrementally arrive at the ideas of liberty more than I've ever seen anybody come and become a libertarian because they got called a bootlicker. So, and here's the thing. If you can't personally handle criticism, now, just by dropping this piece, I'm proving that I can handle criticism because I think I'm getting roasted in the comments on Facebook. And that's okay. But the inability to handle criticism or play devil's advocate, having no sense of humor, is going to detract from your ability to relate to others. And we call this empathy. Okay. So in order to attract people, you have to relate to people, and people don't relate well with prudes. Okay. So, and I am no stranger to libertarians putting words in my mouth, as you have probably seen in the last few days. Right? People want to confirm their biases just so they can have something to complain about on the internet. That's what it is. They're bored. They're snowed in. There's a blizzard in the Midwest. Whatever. Bad weather. And so they're angry. They want to get out their rage on something. And you know, I become a convenient target for them because I expose myself up to criticism, thereby proving that I can show, you know, empathy and relate and take criticism, which I'm more than willing to do. And you got to have a thick skin anyways. So, yeah, and having a thick skin, that's another thing. Not being so jumpy, not getting triggered, right? If you get triggered by something, then that's another problem. It's this kind of virtue signaling from the left. That's where we're talking about in just a minute about leftism invading the Libertarian Party. But let's finish this because you guys know, I want to put a bow on this topic. But this was demonstrated after I shared that article, which was Snapchat sex workers being reported to the IRS for taxes. And all the libertarians were storming my page, condemn my position, even though I actually didn't give my position on the subject. All right. So, and you can actually listen to the podcast that I did yesterday, the Freedom Report podcast, for more background on that topic. Okay. Now, this was my plan when I ran for president in 2016, if I had been the nominee, and I kept saying this to people, is that we need to turn this into the party of small business. That was what my plan would have been. Immediately build a coalitions, do marketing behind small business owners who supported the Libertarian Party, and the Libertarian Party supporting small business owners. And small and medium businesses, they're the backbone. They're the major employers of the United States. And these are the people who would be helped by our positions on deregulation, right? So why aren't they supporting libertarians, right? Well, it's because I think that the Libertarian Party is more focused on normalizing taboos than on issues that Americans think are important. And there does come a time when you have to draw the line in the sand. Like, you know me, I'm a big cannabis advocate, you know, and I absolutely believe, you know, we should end the war on drugs entirely, you know, and I articulated those same exact positions when I ran as a Republican as when I did as a Libertarian, right? Just maybe, you know, sugar-coated. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, as the lovely Mary Poppins would say, oh, Harry Higgins, oh, so wait, spoonful of sugar helps the medicine? Yeah, Mary Poppins, I was going to say, not My Fair Lady. Anyways, yeah. My musical theater, my musical comedy background is what uniquely positioned me to understand comedy and satire. It's amazing how much my degree has come in handy. My background and experience in production has come in handy in the arts and being creative to politics. But, you know, it's all a show. Hollywood for ugly people, as they say about politics, right? But to finish this, put a button on it. The Libertarian Party is focused more on normalizing taboos than the issues that most Americans really care about. So think about this. If the people who stand to benefit the most from your ideas are turning you down, then you're probably doing something wrong. All right, which leads me to the next one, the big one, the really tough one to discuss, because, you know, it's just, it brings out the ree, and you know what I mean? Like the ree, and it brings out the triggers. The party's overrun by leftists. It's being overrun by leftists, right? So in 2016, the LP tried to capitalize on the Never Trump movement by working overtime to signal to the left, trying to bring in the Bernie bros. And now the party is being weighed down by these libertarian socialists, anarcho-communists, and Antifa activists whose main objective is to abolish private property rights within the party. As a matter of fact, in the New Orleans convention, they actually had to fight to put a plank in the platform that talked about free market economic systems, right? Like systems were like against systems of coercion. They had to like affirm a libertarian economic philosophy for the Libertarian Party because the libertarian socialists were trying to F with the plank and turn it more leftist. Exactly, Utah Jazz, as they say. But listen, these actions have consequences. The ideas propagated during the 2016 election that libertarians are socially liberal was a mistake, because liberals, as most Americans understand it, they champion a forced acceptance of behavior that they approve of, and the abolishment of behavior that they disapprove of by means of leveraging government. Bake the cake. Does that sound familiar? And also, finally, the last one, the one that has triggered 1,000 triggertarians who cannot play devil's advocate, who cannot think outside the box, who cannot consider that the intrinsic moral philosophy might need some tweaks, the NAP. Now, I've always said that the NAP is an excellent guide, right? A guide. But it makes for a poor pledge due to its flaws. The fact that so much debate exists around the NAP should preclude it from being a pledge, right? Pledging different things to different people isn't much of a solitary pledge, right? You're not actually pledging to something together when everybody has a different interpretation of it. Does abortion violate the NAP? It depends on which libertarian you ask. Does allowing a child to starve to death violate the NAP? Well, how about if you die from a baby dies because it's been left out in a baby swing for over a week, right? That depends on which libertarian you ask. So what about if you get behind the wheel when you're blackout drunk and you're swerving in and out of traffic? Is being a clear and present danger a violation of the NAP? It depends on which libertarian you ask. Or how about firing a gun into the air? Again, it depends on which libertarian you ask. But meanwhile, as we're fighting and we have the two monkeys, it's like that Simpsons episode where they're like, everybody's like standing around watching the two monkeys knife fight each other. It's like what libertarians are doing to each other, or like that wrestling meme of like Roddy Piper and Andre the Giant like beating each other up, and the libertarians are all cheering it on. They're all libertarians and are watching each other get beat up. But while this is going on, while the monkeys and we're fighting, you know, and we have these knife fights with each other and stuff, like to the death over, like, you know, these issues. Some of them so completely, you know, like Gold Standard versus Bitcoin, you know, they were going to. Meanwhile, outside of this bubble, like, are everybody like watching us? Like, we're the monkeys and they're like taking bets. Yeah, fight. Or if they're paying attention at all, most likely they're not paying attention. But when they do tend to peek down into the bubble, like take the lid off of the bug nest, it's like, ugh, and then they're like, ugh, take that, put it away. So that comes from, the criticism comes from a place of love. And if you can't address these things, then we're just not going to go anywhere. It's not to say that we'll never, ever win, but these are the five reasons why we can't win. These are the five reasons why we'll never win. If these things continue, we'll never win. So we have to change these things. This is kind of psychology, right? It's group psychology. Really tough to get a nail, to put a pin on it, but I hope that you guys enjoyed the live stream today on Twitch. Don't forget, if you want to support this live stream and others, you can support me on Patreon, patreon.com/APforLiberty. The Freedom Report podcast that you're listening to, if you're listening to this later, you can find on Stitcher, you can find on SoundCloud, you can find on Podbean. There's just everywhere you can get the Freedom Report podcast. You can download it so that way you can never miss an episode. Thank you so much for tuning into my live stream today, guys. Hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope you enjoy your holiday season. Take care.